Yeah, and it is good to be back, my brothers and sisters. I think I may be joining you next week. I can't remember what my calendar is these days, but I'm sure I'm going to be back soon. Maybe next week, we'll see. But so that means 2 weeks in a row I get to journey with you in this beauty. If I'm not here, pardon me, it was my mistake, but I'm hoping to be here now that I've said that. But today we celebrate reconciliation. Reconciliation. Well, actually, there's a couple of themes, three themes I picked out. Reconciliation, God's gifts, and God's love. All three are abundant in these readings. We start with Egypt, or we are Egypt, the Egyptians. We start with the Israelites who've escaped Egypt by God's hand, escaped slavery, cruel slavery. And now have finally, after 40 years, come into the promised land, and manna ends. The manna ends. Now they eat the fruit of the promised land. The Lord has reconciled them from their, as he said, as even Moses was saying, they're thick-necked and they don't listen to anything. They're hard. They've hardened hearts. He's finally reconciled them from this, in this image of now, here, partake of the land that I've promised you. And of course, Paul goes right into the deeper realization that we now have that the Israelites were just a type of, just kind of showing us a symbol of. We are truly recognized or reconciled in Christ, in his complete ministry of reconciliation. The one where we walk into a little room and we are like brand new babes out of the baptismal font. And that, in fact, is where it all started, in the baptismal font, completely made. The Israelites weren't quite yet there. We are. Unbelievable. And yet, we don't believe it. I mean, I don't act like I believe it sometimes. So the Lord is giving us this beautiful parable that really pulls out a lot of the elements of reconciliation. The prodigal son. And note, he gives it to not those who would think of themselves as prodigal children, but no, those who most likely are in the image of the older son. The Pharisees, who think they've done everything right and deserve the kingdom, and sinners and tax collectors do not. So he gives this story to try to open up for both, and those who have sinned and been reconciled and those who have done well. And like he's said in other places, who do not need reconciliation. Of course, he was saying that to try and stimulate them. They still, and we will read and understand, they need just as much, and they may be further, in fact, in some cases, almost all, further away from even where the prodigal son is. So let's look at what's going on here. The gift is a means of showing God's love. And so that's the theme I want to end up with. See if where do I stand with that? How much do I understand of what God has given to me is an image of his love, is a symbol of his love. What does the younger son learn? That's what we want to kind of do a little study of today. What did he learn? I think we can start with, what did he feel? And what was it that he felt receiving the finest robe, the ring, the sandals on his feet, and the celebration that was made because of his return? What must he have felt? What would you have felt? What would I have felt? We've just done what he'd gone off and given everything away. We've used up everything for ourselves. We've been completely selfish, self-centered, cared about no one. We come back and the Father just throws all this stuff at us. Would he have felt deserving of all that the Father gave him at that point? Do I feel deserving of what God gives me and reconciles me, what God's about to offer to me? Do I feel deserving? Of course, I don't think he felt very deserving. And yet, what did he feel before when he first came to the Father? He says it this way, give me a share of what should come to me. And so that's where we must start. And that is where I must ask myself, how often have I been that way? How often am I still that way? This is my share. I deserve this. And so that is, I think, our question. That is what we really want to look at in our own hearts. How deserving do I feel I am of the things that God gives me? Where is the older son in his thoughts? What is he worried about? You know, we look at what he said to the Father. He says, look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast with my friends. Now, it sounds like he is just. And indeed, he's done, served well. He served the Father well. So it sounds in this case like, yeah, he really does have a gripe. He's got a justified argument against his brother. But again, let's take a deeper look at what is the point of his emphasis? Who is he worried about, or what is he worried about? I think it comes in when he talks about his brother, and he doesn't even call him my brother. He says, your son, the other one, your son, who swallowed up your property. Is the focus on your or on property? And it's pretty clear, at least in my heart, and it's pretty clear, I think, what Jesus is trying to say to us is the older son's only focus is the father's property. Why? Because now he's back taking more of it. Who does he believe that property belongs to? Or who does he want it to belong to? Himself. In fact, he can't, in a certain sense, he can't wait till the old man kicks off. So it's all his. It seems to be very evident that that's all he's been working for, is just to get the stuff my father has. Where, now we, again, must ask this question. Is he feeling deserving? Does he feel deserving? And yeah, I think he does. So he's in the same boat the younger guy was at the beginning. Except the younger guy is now in a different boat. He finally has come to a point where he realizes he has not deserved any of this. Do either care at the beginning about the Father? Do either care about the one who is giving them gifts? Or do they only care about the gifts? It's pretty obvious. Does it feel like the older son loves his father? No. Does it feel like the younger son began loving his father? No. But the younger son has learned something that the older has not yet learned. He loses almost everything. Only, and this is where we can start to reflect on where we have been. How many times in my life have I only learned how beautiful something was after I lose it? Or only learned how beautiful somebody was after he or she is gone? And now I reflect on what I had. How often is that the case? I can say in my life, almost always. It seems to be constantly, I always have to wait to lose something before I get a grasp of what I had. What I had. How thankful are we? How thankful am I for everything I have now? The beautiful babe. The beautiful, I was going to say day, but it was at least it wasn't snowing. The beautiful spring that's upon us. Again, spring rains that will bring flowers. I see the flowers all booming up. In a couple of days, we'll see those first, I'm not so good, but I think maybe daffodils or something, whatever comes out first. We'll see all those things just booming and color coming back. Do I stop? and say, do I really deserve this? Or do I act like I just deserve to see that every spring? Or do I ever stop and say, I don't even deserve to see how beautiful this is? And that's not saying anything bad about me. That's saying beautiful, that this is a gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've given. How possessive am I? Do I think that I just deserve all these things? I deserve even my own health. I deserve people to recognize what I have done well when I don't even recognize what he did, what he's about to do. I mean, I've been a priest for 11 years, and I'm sure I don't quite yet recognize what he is doing, what he's about to do. And so the Lord calls us to be growing in this. In fact, again, going back to how thankful are we for everything, and losing is the only time that we often start to recognize that. I am now getting the chance to try to give a gift that I've never been able to give at this point. And as a priest, I'm going to be able to give the gift of being a pastor. I don't know how many of you know me well enough or know anything about my future, but in June, I will be a pastor. I'm leaving the Office of Vocations. I'm going to leave it to a capable younger priest. His name is Father John, too. Father John Whitlock will come back from the seminary where he's been at St. John Vianney in Minnesota, and he will take over. So you will see him here, talking about vocations, talking about this gift. And so here I am now finally being able to receive what you get ordained for. Vocation work has been very beautiful. And if it was all I ever did before God called me, I would be very satisfied in what he has given me. But you get ordained to be a pastor. You get ordained to have children, to baptize them, to marry them, and to bury some of them. That's what you do. You bring people through the rhythm of life with Christ. That's what you get ordained for. That's what I ache for. And yet here I am getting ready to leave one place and ready to go to the other. And I'm struggling with both. And I went to the parish just yesterday. And I realized, whoa, there's a lot more to pastoring than all the things that I thought were really cool about it. And that's usually the first meeting. First meeting isn't about what I just said to you, baptizing babies, all the beautiful things, reconciling souls, bringing everybody to the Lord. No, it's about administration, how to administrate a parish. And I'm going, I mean, about halfway through the conversation, I was a deer in the headlights with all the things that I got you have to think about as a pastor, as a father. And so here I am, I'm feeling ready to get my family, and I'm feeling drained, as if this is just gonna be terrible. And of course, that's usually the way we all start off. We think of it in the negative. And I thought that almost like, reflecting on that, thinking about this reading today, I'm realizing that I, in a sense, thought I deserve to walk into an easy job. I've worked 9 years doing this. I deserve to walk into a piece of cake. And yet the Lord is saying, you're going to get some beautiful things, but you're going to also be asked to give. You're going to also be asked to give. And only in that gift will I be able to understand what I have received. Only. How terrible it would be if I walked into St. John's, the perfect parish. I'm teasing. But how terrible it would be if I had something given to me that was so good, so perfect, that there was going to be nothing at all asked of me. So the day I walked out of that parish, I said, Lord, I am petrified. But thank you. Thank you. This is going to be much harder than I thought. And it's going to take a long time to get used to this after doing something else for all these years, but thank you. Thank you. And I may do terrible at it. In fact, I'm going to make some mistakes. And there are going to be there's going to be the family, the infighting, the different things that somebody wants and somebody else wants, and they don't fit. But I'm going to be thanking him even for that. For if we do not learn how to receive the things that we don't like, and in a sense say, that is probably what I deserve more than the things that I do, then I will not see the beauty in the things that will go well. There will be times that are tough, but we'll suffer them together as a family for the first time and hopefully for a long time. So again, brothers and sisters, let us ask ourselves today, where is it in my life that I still think I deserve something? Or I act like I possess it, as if it's mine, and even myself. Do I even possess myself? What a gift this is. Do I know that? Do I know that enough? I know I don't, but I want to. And so the Lord is calling us, just like he did the Israelites, just like Paul did us, and just like Jesus called those Pharisees. He was not trying to condemn these Pharisees. He was trying to open their hearts to what had been given to them. So let us be like them and like the younger brother. Let us learn through what it often takes, going through the tough stuff, to learn what it is that God truly has given.